Our Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 through to 25. It's up there on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you and want to read along there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord bless his reading to us.
So as we come to Christmas Day today, we would recognise, I don't know whether you're early present openers or whether you're an after church present opener. I'm not sure where that all fits in your schedule, in your household. But right around the world today, there will be people who are opening gifts that are exactly what they wanted. And even more than that, maybe even more than what they had hoped for. That will be Janet's experience, obviously. And the experience is wonderful. I hope you've had that experience sometime in your life at least. It's a wonderful experience. And I hope that your heart is full of gratitude when that is your experience. And for the gift giver, there is joy in the heart seeing the excitement, isn't there? You hand over this gift that you just know they will love, and when you see the glow on their face, there's something special about that. But as much as there is a joy and excitement in seeing the receiver really enjoying the present, there is also this realization. The realization that for that special gift to have been given in many circumstances, the budget has been really, really stretched. Almost stretched to breaking point. There have been months of sacrifice, of maybe going without so that that gift could be given. And there's going to be months of sacrifice in the future on the credit card as you try and meet the repayments. And you kind of ask yourself, why do we go through that kind of struggle just for a present? Quite simply, it's the cost of love. It's the cost of love. It's loving so much that you will do whatever it takes for someone to receive joy in their lives. Well, as we look to today's Bible passage, I see a similar thing happening. Someone paying a price beyond what they could afford. Someone paying a price well beyond what they could afford because of love. Matthew 1, 18 to 25 is talking about Joseph's role in the birth of Jesus. Joseph's role in the birth of Jesus. Isn't it true that as we come to Christmas, we talk about Mary? We talk about the baby Jesus. We talk about shepherds even. Wise men. We even talk about a feeding trough. And Joseph almost gets no mention. You know, we probably do it because we understand that Joseph isn't the biological father. But surely his role is far more significant than we could possibly imagine. Raising a child who's not his own under such dramatic circumstances was really going to take a big sacrifice. It was interesting that We had a time together on Wednesday, a bit of a Christmas lunch, which was wonderful, and thanks for everyone who put that on. That was tremendous. But I saw these carol words that had been produced some time ago for the church, and as I flicked through all of these beautiful carols, Born is the King, it's Christmas, Joy to the World, Angels we have heard on high, Hark the herald angels sing, O little town of Bethlehem, while shepherds watch, once in Royal David City, Joseph doesn't even get a mention. His name's not even noted there. And yet, he is a big part of the story. We read that Joseph's mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know whether you are aware, but the Jewish marriage process at that time was very different to our own. Mind you, I think our marriage process has been changing over the years as well. For a Jewish couple, there were two major events, two ceremonies. Firstly, there was the betrothal and later the wedding. At the betrothal, a woman was legally married, although she still lived in the father's house. And then she could not belong to another man unless she was divorced from her husband, her betrothed. So in other words, she was married but not living with the man. The wedding saw the woman brought from her father's house to the house of the groom, and the marriage was consummated. The time frame between these two events was at least 9 months and usually 12 months. In part, that was because obviously the groom had to try and put together a home for the two of them to live in. But also, the second reason, and it was a part of the reason, was to make sure that the woman hadn't been promiscuous. It was also to make sure that she wasn't found to be pregnant to another man. Because if that was the case, then the man could legally finish the arrangement that was in place. If she was pregnant, she would be shamed, she would be divorced, the dowry would be returned. And so, in some ways, what we are reading about today is the very reason there was a two-step marriage, because occasionally women were found to be pregnant. Remember, as we're reading verses 18 and 19 in the story, Joseph doesn't know that Mary's baby bump is from the Holy Spirit. He doesn't know that at this point. Now, we read that Joseph was faithful to the law, and some translation has that he was a righteous man. And I don't think that's just Matthew's say-so. I think you could ask anyone in the town, what do you think of Joseph? Everyone say, he's a good fellow. He's a good man. He's a righteous man. Everyone knew that to be true. And even though this is an uncomfortable situation, as long as he dealt with it in accordance with the law, as long as he realised there are steps he needed to take, if he dealt with it in accordance to the law, he could actually walk away from this with his reputation still intact, not to be damaged, and he could walk away unscathed. That was still a possibility. But for him to not be damaged, for his reputation to not be damaged, Mary needed to be humiliated. Mary needed to be disgraced. Everyone needed to see that she had been doing something inappropriate for him to keep his reputation. That was the cost that he had to consider. Was he willing to pay? Some might argue that it would be appropriate for him to have humiliated her. But we see that Joseph is a lawful man. He's a lawful man, yes, but he's not a vindictive man. A lawful man, but he's not a vindictive man. He's not a man who is looking for justice. You know, a lot of damage can be done in the pursuit of justice over the years, and it's a part of society today where everyone is looking for justice. What's right and what's fair? We are living in a world that is fascinated and caught up with fairness. Fairness, and it sounds like a good thing, but fairness is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? I have no doubt that almost every court case that's ever been run, when everyone's pursuing fairness, everyone walks away disappointed because things aren't quite fair. It causes pain somewhere. But because Joseph was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? It's not his problem. It's not his problem. If you ever wonder why Joseph was chosen to be Jesus' earthly father, I think right here is the reason that we get to see it. He's lawful, but he's not vindictive. He's in the middle of a moment of deep hurt. He has to have been hurt. I can't imagine how much hurt he was feeling through all of this. He had to be hurt. He had to be cut to the bone. But even in the midst of that, he's still a compassionate man. And then from verse 20, he receives the explanation in a dramatic way. And obviously it needed to be dramatic. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." This sounds like a lovely transaction. And you almost feel as though, you know, Joseph must have had a smile on his face with what took place here. It kind of gets Joseph out of a messy situation, right? Well, actually, no. However messy the situation was before the angel appeared to him, his situation is now more messy because the angel turned up. It actually plunges him into a burden and a crisis that he should never have had to carry. He should never have had to carry this. He's deeper in trouble. You see, by going ahead with the wedding, you can imagine for everyone else looking on, considering nobody's obviously going to ask the question, by the way, is Mary pregnant to the Holy Spirit? No one's going to ask that question. Obviously, what's taken place? Obviously, Mary and Joseph have been getting up to some premarital hanky-panky. That's obviously what's happened. And that's why they have to get married. So much for his righteousness. As everyone looks at him and looks at Mary, his righteousness in the eyes of the community has just gone out the window. This man who had been known as being law-abiding, no more. This good man is now carrying disgrace. It's not disgrace of his own making, but he carries it. His whole reputation has just gone out the window. You see, the cost of his love for Mary and the cost of his love for God has been a really large one. One that must have been very difficult to pay the price for. But he was willing to pay it because he loved so much. He was willing to pay it because he loved so much. It's an amazing choice for Jesus' earthly father to take on. You see, Joseph's first decision to follow the law and try and divorce Mary quietly was centered in goodness. It was centered in godliness. It was centered in righteousness. He was trying to do the right thing. In fact, you couldn't fault the decision that he had made. But God required even more. And his godliness and his righteousness needed to reach beyond even what Joseph was prepared to do. I don't know about you, but I can't help but be impressed by this amazing man. This amazing man who would make all of those sacrifices for his Mary and his God. When Joseph woke up, we read that he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And it was Joseph who did this. He gave the baby the name Jesus. Joseph paid the price for a situation that wasn't of his making. As you hold that thought today, there is this little baby. There is this little baby, baby Jesus in a manger, which is what we celebrate today. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who, as the angel told Joseph, he was born to save the people from their sins. Why would God send his son, his only son, to this world? Honestly, why would you send your perfect son to this world that is such a mess? The sins of the world aren't God's problem. They're our problem, not his. God could easily have said, hey, I had nothing to do with that. What I created was perfect. And justice and fairness would declare that each person should be accountable for their own sins. You and I should be accountable for our own sins. We should pay for the punishment, or we should pay the punishment for the sins that we've committed. But God's not a God who's about getting even. And as much as the word justice and just gets thrown around a lot, God isn't about being just or wanting justice for us. He wants to show us love and grace. Praise God for that. Because justice would mean we'd need to pay the price of our sins. The world likes to think that God, the concept of God, is that he is this mean, horrible man. But nothing could be further from the truth. For God so loved the world. Yes, the world has broken every single rule that has ever been put in place. Yes, man has found new ways to sin beyond what you could have imagined. The world has turned its back completely on him. Yet God loved the world so much. So much that he would send his son. And I don't know that we often hear those words as clearly as we probably should. God sent his son. Not just some inanimate object or something that didn't matter. He sent his son into this world, this messed up, sinful world, to pay the price for sin. That is, the sins that you and I and everyone else has committed. But we are told that those of us who believe in him as Saviour and Redeemer will not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you ever received a gift that you know costs somebody far more than they could afford? Have you ever received a gift like that? It's a gift that you can't help but treasure, because your response means as much to the giver as the gift means to you. Let me say that again. Your response means as much to the giver as the gift means to you. God has given to you the most precious gift he could. He gives his son to pay the price of sins. Even Joseph gave up a lot. Joseph gave up so much because he loved, as did Mary. Mary gave up a lot to care for Jesus, to care for the gift of God. And now all that's left to be done is for you to accept that gift. The greatest love gift in history. The greatest love gift that cost so much. A sacrificial gift. You see, when we understand the sacrifice, then we should be found rejoicing that this gift was given to you. Was given to you. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that today we can acknowledge the sacrifice. The sacrifice of yours in giving your Son to the world. The sacrifice of the people who were a part of that Christmas story. The sacrifice of Joseph, the sacrifice of Mary. And Father, all we can be left doing is thanking you for this gift. Father, today I really want to pray that if there's anyone who is sitting in this space today who doesn't understand the magnitude of this gift and the wonder of the gift and the beauty of the gift, then I pray that will be their experience today, that they will experience that and that they will know that your desire is that they would accept the gift which you have freely given. And that by doing so, Father, their life might be transformed, not just for a day or two, not just while they spend their time on this earth, but for all eternity. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. But I'd also ask that today is a day when you remember the gift that has been given. I'd like to, on this Christmas day, I think, proclaim one of the strongest Christmas messages there is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Praise God. Have a wonderful Christmas day.